Good.
Yeah. No, but I've seen like five or six different accounts tweet the schedule with times. So yeah, we're not releasing
James,
any.
Renee just made fun of you saying schedule.
That's not making right. fun.
Right. Can I just say I speak proper English? Just remember that.
I can't wait to get there and hear everybody talking like that. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun.
Well, the thing is, when you come over here, we're only a small country, but there's such a different accent around all different parts of the UK. So you're Scottish, too. Irish, Welsh, but you know, for such a small country, there is a wide range of dialects and accents.
You can hear five different dialects just when you cross New Orleans. So we get
That's true. That's true. That's true. I would liken the Cajun accent to Welsh.
Okay. I don't know. I thought the Welsh is maybe like a West Bank accent or a Chalmette accent.
Well, Ash is Welsh. You remember what he sounded like, don't you?
Yeah, he sounded like this.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network schedule or schedule, depending on where you're from, release show. I'm your host, James, for the second time. I'm going to try and do a better job with the intro. I did such a good job last time that Jeff actually cut it out of the recording and recorded his own to put over the top of it. Joining me this afternoon, is Wesley. Wesley, do you have a number?
Oh, no, I don't.
Are you okay?
Been working all day, and then now researching since.
Yeah, funny that. And also joining us, currently having his head licked by his dog, is Jason. Jason, do you have a number?
Jason, is that peanut butter or is that almond butter?
It's a nice little sweat. That's one of the benefits of having a shaved head. I get a lot of licks from the dogs. But no, I don't have a number. Just got home and I got to cut the grass in about 10, 15 minutes. So no number for me.
Right, so we'll try and get to the good bits whilst you're here then, shall we? Okay. Is that what we should try and do?
I already know I have my first number one good bits part. A lot more noon games this year. I'm excited about that.
Yes, for me particularly, that is a very good thing. A very, very good thing. So, the schedule hasn't been officially released yet. It's not released until 7 p.m., 8 p.m. your time.
Yeah, I think that's when the ESPN specials or the NFL network. I'm sure
however, it has been leaked online throughout the day, and a few people have been tweeting out what the actual schedule is. So let's get to it. Highlights. Anything jumps off the bat straight away from people when they've looked at it?
There's a certain game on October 2nd that jumps out.
Yeah, that one definitely jumps out.
That, and then 2 weeks later, October 16th, the Bengals comes pretty interesting. I really like, if we look at, with all the changes that the Saints have, and by changes, I mean, we essentially kind of have a new quarterback and two new wide receivers. I mean, Jameis missed a lot of time, and he's not used. We're going to have some changes to the offensive line, and our two main wide receivers are going to change. And then Taysom Hill is now a tight end. So three of your five top receivers are changing. And then Deontay Harris is now probably going to work as a wide receiver most of the off season. I would think that we're going to start kind of slow. I think I told y'all that I think that we'll probably have some Saints fans melting down three games into the season. And I think that's what it's going to take now. And so I was hoping that the schedule would come out with some winnable games, starting off with the Falcons, the Buccaneers, who we do well against, and then the Panthers and the Vikings and the Seahawks. I don't know a better like first five teams to start with on our schedule. And everybody can say, well, then you go through the hardest part of the schedule. I'm good with that. We're gonna have to gel. There's some changes on our defense too, especially with the safeties. We're gonna miss Marcus May for 3, maybe 4 games. Let's get those out of the way. I kind of sacrifice the team that we can lose to the Buccaneers there. And then there's 4 pretty winnable games outside of that Buccaneers game, which could, and again, we dominate them.
Yeah, dominate
love
them.
Love the start of the season.
In addition to having a new coach as well coming in, but I like, you're going to get either, I guess, Mariota in week 1. I can't imagine Ritter starting. You get Tampa, who you play great against. You get a shitty Carolina team. Then we have the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. Then Seattle with – who's Seattle's quarterback going to be?
Drew Locke.
Drew Locke from Denver.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, it's a really – it looks like a good start right now for sure.
Yep. Then you got the Bengals and turnaround, and you got a Cardinals team that's got a whole lot going on. Hopkins will not be playing. You've got their quarterback even want to be there?
Murray, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on with them. So, I mean, and then of course, and then after that, like we start playing football. Like, I mean, we've got a schedule after that for sure.
I do like the fact that the bye week is late. I feel like the last 2 years, our bye week has always been like week 5, week 6, very early in the season. And it seems like Tampa's always gotten a late bye week, which to me is an advantage with an older quarterback. So I like, especially with all the travel we're doing, I like having the bye late.
Yeah, the at San Francisco followed by at Tampa on a Monday, then a bye week is good because that's going to be a stressful couple of weeks. And then, I mean, you come out of the bye. I like the late bye as well because there's less teams now. There's only one team per conference getting a bye in the playoffs. So the chances of being the number one seed are less likely. So that's kind of getting a bye week. And then you go and you play the Falcons, the Browns, the Eagles, and the Panthers before heading into probably the playoffs. So that's... Yeah.
I mean, the only issue with the Cleveland and Philadelphia games towards the end of the season is it's likely to be cold.
Yeah. And we're there for both of them.
But then this Saints team has been good on the road for the past few years. So
better on the road than at home.
Right. And defense travels. So
and like defense plays well in the cold too.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, it does. You mentioned it at the start. The Cincinnati game jumps off the page as one to look forward to. Man. I'm really surprised that's not a primetime game. I've got to be honest. I'm really surprised.
Yes, but yeah, with Burrow coming back here, I mean, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to that game. I am surprised.
So listen, and I think this is what we're going to have to settle in on right now in – if you've heard everything going into the draft and everything coming out of the draft, as far as record predictions, even draft predictions, who we were going to draft, the national media is telling us that we don't have a quarterback. Now, the same people are the ones that are, having an opinion on who needs to be in these primetime games. And I'm just telling you, Jameis Winston is not respected at all outside of Saints fans. There's a couple of outliers that come in and say, like, the Saints are going to make the playoffs. You guys are crazy. But in general, national media is not respecting Jameis Winston. So, no, I mean, this is looked at as a lopsided game they're going to call us a rebuilding Saints team getting run over by, a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I don't usually pay a lot of attention to power rankings. I think it's just stupid. But one came out this week. I think it might have been The Athletic and had us at like 24. I'm like,
yep.
Have you seen how bad the NFC is? I mean, all the quarterbacks.
CBS. Our defense alone, we would be higher than 24. I mean, that's. I mean, seriously, if Taysom Hill's our starting quarterback, we're higher than 24.
Yeah, it was, and again, it's and power rankings are stupid, but it is interesting. There is, a lot of people saying, so like, maybe 8 wins, maybe 9 wins. Something I haven't done. I need to hit the over, whatever the over under total is. I got to go the over.
Somebody told me, sent me one the other day that was 6.5.
I mean, wow. when you factor in the shittiness.
I thought
of,
Scott's in LSU 6.5. Never mind. My bad.
But when I you think, factor, I think the Saints, the Saints, the Saints, Saints are eight. Yeah, okay. Saints are eight.
It's been eight.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we won 9 games with having Trevor Siemian play quarterback. With
Trevor Siemian, and, yeah, and Ian Book.
And no receivers.
None.
No receivers. So, yeah, it's too late. Even the dogs don't like it. I mean, they get it, but I do kind of like being under the radar, though. You know, losing Peyton, people just don't have respect for us. Like you said, people don't respect Jameis. So I do kind of like flying under the radar. And I guess that's one of the benefits, too, of us, because of that, not having nearly as many primetime games as we've had the last, you know, 10, 15 years, and getting all these noon games back, which home games, which I really, really enjoy. So how many, we have 2 primetime games that's not this Thursday night game. Is that right?
So we've got Arizona,
2 Monday night games.
Arizona okay. on a Thursday night. So at Arizona on a Thursday night, home to Baltimore on a Monday night, and at Tampa on a Monday night.
Okay, so only 1 home primetime game. I dig it.
Yeah, and at the moment,
there's a whole lot of noon games.
At the moment, only 1 3:25 game as well.
That's at Frisco, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Everything else, I mean, there are 2 games that are still to be decided by the looks of it, but everything else is a noon, apart from obviously the London game, which is an 8:30 start, although, you know, it'll be the future where you are watching the game, so it'll be 2:30 where you're watching the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at the schedule, there is a pretty brutal stretch. I'd say week 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So that's the Ravens at home, at Pittsburgh, home to the Rams, at San Francisco, and at Tampa Bay. That's a pretty that's a pretty brutal run there.
Yeah, I know. And I guess, I mean, outside of maybe Pittsburgh with, I guess, Trubisky, unless Pickett's in it at that point.
I think Pickett ends up winning that job.
Wow. Okay. But either, yeah, so you got a rookie quarterback there, so that may not be too bad. It is on the road, but
well,
yeah, the other ones, that is probably the
well,
roughest.
The 49ers are going to be playing Trey Lance, and I mean,
wow, yeah.
Who knows what that means? I mean, that could be a terrible thing for us, or it could be, you know, pretty enlightening and great for us. And then again, I mean, I don't want to harp on it, but like you can't just count the Tampa Bay games as wins, but like we kind of can. I mean,
I
dominated
have.
Tom Brady in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I've got. Well, you know, spoiler alert for when we talk about what we think our records are going to be towards the end of the recording. Jason will grab yours before you finish. I've got us going 6-0 in the division.
Well, and just to be fair to so everybody, like once we come in and Jameis is playing well, Sunday night football games can be flexed weeks 5 through 15, and then again in week 17. So again, you kind of. You talk about weeks 5 through 17, you get into, you know, you got Bengals, Cardinals, Raiders, who the Raiders are going to be a something to watch this year. And then you've got your Rams, 49ers, Tampa Bay, Cleveland. I mean, we've got some games that could be flexed for sure, depending on how we're doing and what our record is.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing. If the Saints do get off to a hot start, I could definitely see them flex to maybe like the Rams game.
Them and the Buccaneers game the Browns, and again, well, I don't think the Browns game can't be flexed because it's a Saturday Christmas Eve game. So
the Buccaneers game's the Monday night football, so that won't be
flexed. So that's not gonna be flexed. So never mind. So Rams and 49ers possibly.
Yeah,
they're not gonna flex the Falcons because the Falcons will be 3-9 by then.
So maybe they could potentially flex the Bengals game then.
Right. That's
that's early enough. I think that's gonna be the first prime candidate for it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jason, obviously you said that you're not going to be here for very long.
Nope.
Have you got a prediction?
I mean, it's fine. We do this every year, and we always overshoot. It's like, conservatively, I'm thinking 11-6, but like, why not? I mean, if the defense is as good as I think it's going to be, and I think Jameis is going to play well, if I had a better opinion of what the offensive line is going to be, I'd say 12, but I'll probably settle in 11 and 6. But there's a lot of potential to be much better than that if the line gels and if Jameis's knee holds, you know, it proves to be healthy. There's no reason why we can't with the crappiness of the NFC. So I'll stick with 11 and 6 for now.
11 and 6. You going to take a stab at the games you think we're going to lose?
I feel like we shouldn't, but we'll probably lose to Philly because we, for whatever reason, we struggle against Philly and that game's late on the road.
It's 3 years in a row on the road in Philly as well.
Right. I mean, I guess I'd be worried about the Rams just because of Aaron Donald wrecking the shit out of us.
Yeah. Yeah. We always lose a game you don't think we're going to lose as well.
Right.
That's why I throw a division game in there.
Maybe we go 1-1 against Tampa. And I mean, I can't see us losing to the Falcons or the Panthers. I mean, they're so bad.
I mean, that Cardinals, Raiders, Ravens, that can be a tough stretch right there.
Yeah. I would say probably Ravens. I could see the Ravens just finding a way to beat us. What? So we play 49ers. 40, yeah.
See, you say the Ravens, but they run the ball a lot, which we're good at stopping. And do you trust Lamar Jackson to beat you in the air? I'm not sure I would.
No, and they traded away Brown. So they traded away Marquise Brown. So.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that three-run stretch in there. There's possible a game or two in there that you
maybe I'll up my prediction to 13-4. I'm very optimistic at this point. I'm just giddy with what we've done in the offseason. I'm sure once the season starts and once the injuries happen, it'll be like, oh shit. You
know? And this is the thing though. I think we covered this on the last show. It was before the draft and before we signed Honey Badger. I don't think we'd have been this positive on schedule release day, would we? I don't think we would have been.
No, I probably would have thought, 9-8, 10-7. But
yeah,
here we are. So
this is a pointless question for you, Jason, because you've got a season ticket. But Wesley, how many games are you going to go to this year from that schedule?
I'm looking at 3.
So obviously London.
London, I really am going to try to make the Bengals game. That's just a tough turnaround. Just getting back from London, it's going to be tough for that. On the other side, I would go to the home opener against Tampa Bay, but that's a tough turnaround 2 weeks before London.
So two of the games you want to go and see are a week either side of, or two weeks sure. either side of London.
So with that, I would try to make the Rams game. I would be able to go to the game in Arizona if it wasn't on a Thursday. I've got someone going that could take care of me with tickets. That's just it's a tough ask to get out there on a Thursday, but it's possible I'll go to that road game.
Yeah.
And then our next one would be wanting to hit the Falcons game coming out of the bye.
Yeah. It's an easy one for me.
I'll hit a playoff game for sure.
Yeah. It's an easy one for me. I'm going to be going to one game this year.
Are you sure?
It's one game and one game only. Yeah, I'm going to go to the Seattle game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a few hundred miles closer to you than New Orleans.
It is.
Technically, Baltimore's probably the closest, but they're playing that at home, aren't they? So it is Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh's definitely the closest one.
There you go.
Right, well, so you're going to go and cut the grass.
Yep, got to go cut the grass in the heat.
Right, okay. Enjoy.
All right, so you have my prediction, sure to go wrong.
Yep, very, very early.
Yep, later, guys.
See you later.
Jason.
Right. So, just the two of us then.
Yep.
Do you want to go through it game by game and get our predictions that way? I think I think that's probably the best way to do it when there's only the two of us here, isn't there? So,
sounds good.
Week one, I think we're both going to say that's a win, right?
I think that's a win, yes.
I don't see any way the Falcons can win that game Even if they have Matt Ryan still playing, I don't think that I could see any way them winning that game.
Yeah, that's I mean, again, they're I think that in the year, this probably sounds like a stupid Saints fan thing, because we've said this in the past, how we shouldn't lose to Atlanta, we shouldn't lose to Carolina, and then we typically in the season find a way to lose. This is a whole different Atlanta and Carolina. I mean, these are disheveled teams that are, I mean, Atlanta put together a pretty weird team. It was very incomplete, and they're going to play some people that I think that nobody's ever heard of this year. I just see both of those teams really struggling to have 11 NFL players on offense and defense on top of having quarterback struggles.
I mean, they drafted Desmond Ridder, but they're going to start Mariota, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I think this whole thing comes, I mean, it's very similar to, now, this is where maybe not having Sean Payton is a good thing. These are going to be real similar to the games where we played Denver a couple years ago and they didn't have a quarterback. I mean, these are terrible teams where you go in with a vanilla game plan and you go, just don't screw this up.
Yeah.
If we don't turn the ball over, it doesn't matter if we go three and out a whole bunch of times. It's impossible for them to beat us unless we do something stupid. Don't cover a wide receiver running down the sideline or have a turnover. I don't think that we have the regime here anymore that's going to just be boring like that. I think that we're like, no, we should score 40 on this team, and they cannot score more than 13 on us. I think that that's what this team would go in with. But they're just bad teams. And I mean, again, I feel stupid because we've said this in the past and they weren't as bad as we were making them out to be. They're bad this year.
Yeah, quite possibly the Falcons could end up with a number one pick next year. I think that's definitely, definitely in play. So we're both going for a Saints win against the Falcons. Week two, home to Tampa Bay. I'm taking a win there.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to be realistic with my schedule. I'm going to pick us to lose one of the Tampa Bay games. And like I said, I think that us starting the season the way we are, I think there's a lot on offense and defense that we're working on. I think Marcus May will be out for sure that game. I don't think Kamara will be suspended at that point. I'm taking one of those as an L. I think we need to lose a game early in the season because we're not gelling. That's the one that makes sense.
Yeah. And to be honest, the game at Tampa Bay, they haven't scored a touchdown on us for 2 years. So this is eerily reminiscent of 2017, actually. The week before we play in London, we are at the Carolina Panthers. I think this is a win.
Yeah. No matter how we're not gelling, I don't see us losing to Atlanta or Carolina. It's great to have them as two of the first three games on the schedule.
Yeah. So actually, thinking back to 2017, what you were saying about the team gelling and things like that, we went into that London game 1-2.
Yep.
We lost the first two games of the season, beat Carolina, and then obviously shut out the Dolphins at Wembley. So it's quite eerily similar. You know, I know it's not the rookies that are coming in, but it is a lot of new players.
Is that the only shutout in London game history?
I think the Browns were shut out once when they came over. I think I'd need to check. For some reason, I'm not 100% sure.
Came up sticking in my head. But.
Yeah. So then we come to, well, in my opinion, what is the most important game of the season? It's week four in London against the Vikings. I know this is going to be, you're a Saints fan. You're going to say this. I think we're going to be 4-0 after this game. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'll be at 3-1 there because I am going to take the Tampa Bay game as a loss.
We beat the Vikings, right?
Yeah. I mean, we don't lose international games. We don't lose. Nope. London's our second home court, Hope Field. the Vikings will be tough. I think it's really important, hoping that Marcus May is only getting a 3-game suspension. I'm sure he'll get suspended for. Hopefully we can appeal it down to 3. I think it would be important to have him back right then. Jordan Jefferson is a real weapon. Marshawn Lattimore, when locked in, is Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Jordan's also a weapon. I'm sure whatever he's doing these days for UPS, I'm sure he's driving safely and delivering packages. Marshawn Lattimore is going to be hyped up for that game. And we've got the linebackers that can deal with Dalvin Cook as well as you can deal with Dalvin Cook. And, Marshawn's going to be shadowing Jefferson around.
CD will take Adam Thielen, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's going to be the one that's going to be the one you try to minimize. I think that's a really tough guy for CJ Gardner-Johnson to guard. I mean, as shifty and good as he is off the line. But, I think that's...
Maybe you see Roby covering Thielen then, maybe. I mean...
See that a little bit. I think he'll still shadow a linebacker kind of over there. And also... Things are going to be different this year with these two safeties. These two safeties are going to be able to bracket and help with people out of the slot and do a lot of different things. It's going to make things pretty interesting.
We haven't got the Marcus Williams deep safety, have we? Neither of them are that player. So, yeah. Okay, right. Week 5, home to the Seahawks.
Take that as a Saints win.
Yep. So I'm now 5-0. This is getting ridiculous. You're 4-1. Okay. Week 6, Cincinnati at home.
Yeah.
I am going to take the first L here.
That stadium's going to be a whole bunch. Even if they're Saints fans, people are not going to be booing Joe Burrow. He is to be very comfortable. This is a game that Joe Burrow is, likely to set a passing record for. I think our defense needs to just take it as hopefully they're not destroyed by it. And he's going to play a phenomenal game in that crowd. I just think that one's going to be trouble for us. I think him and Ja'Marr Chase, no matter what we do and how we double or triple them, those two guys are going to do something special in the Superdome. And I want the Saints to win, but I can't be mad at it. I mean, it is what it is. And the Joe Burrow magic paid off for us when he was at LSU. It's going to hurt us a little bit this year, but it's not going to ruin our season.
No, absolutely not. Okay. First primetime game at Arizona, week 7. Last year, I would have been worried about this game. This year, I'm not so concerned. Kyler Murray, I'm not sure, really wants to be there, and Hopkins won't be playing.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough turnaround that Sunday to Thursday, especially on the road, going from New Orleans to Arizona. At least the game against the Bengals, I am hoping it doesn't get flexed to a Sunday night game.
At noon.
I get it. It's 7 hours difference. It makes a difference, that extra 7 hours. Us being able to get there and get to sleep get in a bed by 9 o'clock at night versus get into a bed at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Just kicks your whole week off different. But I agree. This is we've played well against Kyler Murray before. I think that, does he want to be there? I don't know. Depending on how their season starts, they could be in all kinds of disarray. They've got a tough little group that they're going to be playing against a couple times. So who knows how that turns out, but they could already be in.
Yeah. Imploding. That's probably one of the toughest divisions in the NFL this year, I would say. 49ers, Rams, Seahawks. Yeah. But anyway, Saints win to me that game. So I'm 6-1, you're 5-2.
Yep.
Okay. Home versus the Raiders, week 8.
Yeah.
Win for me.
One question. Does Waller still play for the Raiders?
I believe he does. Yep,
that's an L. We're going to lose.
Okay.
I'm taking that one as a loss.
Now, am I right in thinking when we played the Raiders in the opening of their stadium on a Monday night a couple of years ago, Waller went mad, didn't he?
Crazy. I don't know if he went mad as much as just nobody on the Saints even attempted to think that he might be catching the ball even after he had caught 7 or 8 balls. That was the first game where Malcolm Jenkins looked really old. Now, to be fair, Malcolm Jenkins recovered over the next few weeks and played a couple of great games.
Yeah.
But that was a rough game. And then, they now have Davante Adams. That's a tough
one. Yeah, Lattimore's played him well in the past, though.
Right.
So... So yeah, so you've gone for an L. I've gone for a win. So what's that now? I'm 7-1. Am I 7-1? Yeah, 7-1, 5-3. Right, okay. Week 9, Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens in the Superdome. That's another win for me.
Yeah, I'm going to take a win there. And I really like, I mean, this part of the schedule sounds tough. You know, Cardinals, Raiders, Ravens, they're teams with quarterbacks and some talented players. But we're talking about from a Thursday night to a Sunday night game. So we get an extra couple days rest between the Cardinals and Raiders. And then from a Sunday to a Monday. So we get an extra day there between the Raiders and Ravens. For not having a bye until really late, I like that these are a little spaced out, especially after coming off, you know, Bengals and Cardinals and, you know, 4-day period.
You wonder whether, because we haven't got a bye after the London game, they have tried to get as much gaps in before the bye as possible. Maybe, I mean, I don't know if the NFL would even consider that,
I don't know if they think about it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'm being very Homer Saints fan here, aren't I? So I've got us 8-1 and you're 5-6-3. Okay, this is going to come back and bite me on the ass during the season, I can tell you right now. At Pittsburgh, week 10.
Yeah.
It's a win for me.
I'm marking that down as a win. I mean, obviously, I believe we're going to be playing Kenny Pickett there. And sometimes we're weird against quarterbacks that are new to the league. Having said that, Kenny Pickett has a fumbling problem. He has his entire college career. We have a defensive line who is going to make him move around and be touching him while he's trying to throw the ball. I think we get a couple of fumbles there. I think that looks like a good game for us. And you know what? The backup plan's even better because if Pickett's not playing, Mitch Trubisky is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you were a Pittsburgh fan, you'd want Kenny Pickett to win that job in the offseason, wouldn't you? You in the preseason, you'd want him to win that job.
Yeah, I just don't. He's the thing on Kenny Pickett is that he's quote unquote NFL ready. Like, he doesn't need to sit behind a player and learn about the NFL structure. He needs to get experience to figure out if he's good. There's some of these guys that, I mean, probably don't even know the way to the locker room bathroom. And they just got to hang out for a year or two and figure out how to get to the stadium and which side of the end zone is on, you know, all that. Kenny Pickett's ready to play. It's whether he's going to be good or not. He needs, you know, he needs to start playing. They said this all the way through. Kenny Pickett's not a guy you draft to have him sit. The team that drafted him needs to get him in there and get him playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Week 11, home versus the Rams. This pains me to say it because I hate the Rams. And will this be the first time the Rams have played in the Dome since the game?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we've played them twice on the road, but
I was at that game. So I need to go to this one to get that out of my system.
Yeah, however, I think this might be a loss. And the reason I'm saying that is I do not trust our interior offensive line against Aaron Donald. I just don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a loss.
The good thing about this is, I mean, Aaron Donald last year talked about retiring. Now, I don't know if all of that was so that he could sign this massive contract that he did. And kudos to him if he did. But if there was a time that your Aaron Donald's going to have a subpar season because he kind of thought about retiring when winning a Super Bowl, and then now he's gotten massively paid, this is the season for him to take a step back and not be the Aaron Donald. Having said all that, the Rams have a massively talented roster. Their whole thing comes down to, is Matt Stafford going to throw the ball to the other team? It doesn't matter. Sometimes you pressure him and he throws an amazing pass. Sometimes he's standing by himself and he throws a crazy weird pass. So it comes down to what does Matt Stafford, what does he do for them in each game?
Yeah, no, you're right. So are you a win or a loss there?
I'd take a loss, yeah.
Yeah, take a loss. Yeah, same here. Okay, so that's me. Week 12 at the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm taking that as a win. Obviously, they're going to be starting Trey Lance this year. I think that the Debo Samuel discontent is that's Debo Samuel doesn't want to be a running back, and Debo Samuel wants to get $25 million a year.
He wants to be a wide receiver, doesn't he?
running backs do not get paid $25 million a year and don't get hit the way running backs do. Wide receivers get $25 million a year. Yeah. So I agree with him. Like, that's great. I am a wide receiver. If you want to play me at both, you got to pay me for the more expensive one so that I don't get hurt doing the dumb one. So,
yeah.
Kittle had a less of a dominant year last year. He's a pretty physical player. I know he was dealing with injuries and missed a bunch of the season. I mean, he might be one of those guys that after he starts with those injuries, he's a big guy that takes a lot of big hits and delivers a lot of big hits. Let's see if he becomes George Kittle again or what, but I like us in that game.
Yeah, I do too. Week 13 at Tampa Bay, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, we're going to blow their socks off in that game.
Yeah, they haven't scored a touchdown in their own stadium against us for 2 years.
Yeah, this is a I think that Tom Brady looks older this year. Tampa Bay is going to have some changes that they're making on their team. I think by that time, we're hitting our stride, and their Gronkowski is going to be hurt by then. They're going to have somebody else out, and I think that that ends up being a pretty ugly game.
Yeah.
That's probably about the time that we're putting our foot down, and people are like, oh, the Saints might be for real.
Yeah, has Gronk actually signed for them?
No, he has not. But I mean,
he's not, but he will.
Assume that he will.
Yeah, he will. He will. So
if he's not playing for us.
Yeah. God, I can't see that happening. Week 14 is the bye week. And I think this is the first time for 7 years we've had a bye week after week 9.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. We've had a couple of week 5 bye weeks, some week 9 bye weeks. Yeah, this is the first time for 7 years where we've had a later bye week, which
I'm not mad at it.
No, nor me at all. So we come off the bye with the Falcons in the Superdome.
Yep.
That's a win.
Tick. Yeah, I think that's a win. That week 15 game against the Falcons is probably a good time for Marcus Davenport to come back from his week 3 injury. announce his presence. So that'll probably be a pretty exciting game right then. Him coming off the bye week, semi-healthy before he misses the playoffs.
Will we have seen Peyton Turner by this point?
I think so. I mean, let's see what happens, but the little kudos to that guy. He's keeping his mouth shut. A lot of these other guys would be putting videos out there and talking about what they're going to do. And I was a first round pick and I didn't get to show my, that guy's staying quiet, and the little bit that we have heard, and it's not from him, is that he's working, he's in shape, and I mean, I don't know. Who the hell is Peyton Turner? If he walked in the room right now, I wouldn't know him.
Nor me. He might get confused with Patrick Mahomes, like Paolo Banchero did at the weekend.
The good news is that anything we get from him, honestly, is Lanyap. I mean, our team is set up to be successful if Peyton Turner never walks in the locker room this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It is. Yeah.
And so let's keep it that way. But if he can play and if he can do anything.
Five sacks this year would be really good.
Enormous. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really good. Okay. So that's the Falcons. That's a win for me as well. So week 16, Christmas Eve at Cleveland.
I'm giving us a loss there. I'm gonna take
a loss there too.
One of two things. I mean, we don't have to go back into it, but we've all agreed that Deshaun Watson is a special quarterback. So if there's decent weather and he's got any kind of health with the receivers and stuff like that, he can shred us. And then if it's bad weather, they've got the best running duo in the game. And I get it. Our defense is great against the run, but those guys are great for a reason.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've genuinely got two, I would say, top 15 running backs.
Yep. I think that's a tough one. Multiple reasons. You put everything into it. One, it's a short week because we go from Sunday to a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's our team being on the road for Christmas Eve, not with their families, versus Cleveland is at home with their families and knowing, you know, there's all these kind of things that are kind of going on at that time that can be distractions. And I expect Cleveland to be a very good team this year. By that time, when he's back from his suspension and they're doing everything they can to win and make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think that's a loss as well. And it's a shame because I was at the last game that we played on Christmas Eve. So, it's a bit of a shame that. Right.
Did we win that game?
It was the Falcons. Marshawn Lattimore's butt interception game.
Oh, so we won. So yes. Maybe you need to go to this one so we win.
I'm not sure I'm going to get away. We're going to Cleveland for Christmas. I'm going to be honest with you. It's easy for me to get to.
Oh, do you guys do Christmas?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
it's not an American thing.
No. We actually do Christmas. Yeah, we do. We do. Anyway, moving on. Week 17 at Philadelphia on New Year's Day. I've also got this as a loss.
Yeah, this is one I take as a win. I think we're going to probably give up some rushing yards to Cleveland. I think there's going to be a real serious talk with the team about not letting that happen again against a team that's purely going to run the ball. And I think that we've got enough players left over from the last time we played the Eagles in Philadelphia to be embarrassed still by that. There's going to be some motivation there. I also think that the game is probably going to matter to us more than them. Having said that, I mean, the Eagles could be, you know, two games below 500 fighting for first place in their division with the Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys. So who knows? But I kind of think by then we've got a lot more to play for than them. And I'll take the revenge game there.
Okay. And then the final game, week 18, home versus the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
That's a win for me.
Yeah, I think Andy Dalton gets his first win as a Saints quarterback while we rest some players.
Yeah.
Carolina's probably fighting for number one or number two overall draft pick at that time that hopefully they trade to us for a coach.
talk about that in a minute.
I think we'll rest some people, and I think that's probably clearly week 18, Christian McCaffrey's no longer playing. He's injured months before then. And
who knows who'll be playing quarterback for Carolina then?
Yeah, I mean, that's where they're definitely not starting. They're starting a young rookie. They're seeing what they can do. Matt Corral playing, and he can probably throw some left-handed interceptions to us, I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully. Right, and so that is the schedule. I've got us at 13-4.
Yeah, I end up doing that, and I come down to 12-5 with that. I really would, if I was betting, I'd say we go 11-6. There's going to be some other Saints type.
We're going to lay an egg somewhere.
What's probably going to happen, honestly, is we win one of the games that I'm saying we're going to lose, and then we lose two other games that I just can't fathom us losing. It's all over the place. But, I mean, and let me just be clear. I'm saying 12-5 here. I think that we end up 11-6. That's an incredible season for how I think that we're going to start and like what we've been through in the off season and, you know, 2 years in a row being $100 million over the cap and whatever you want to say and all this, garbage. It's a
good place to be. I'm not going to. We're still sat, $17 million in cap space?
Yep. I think it was 19 before the Matthew signing.
I mean, that cap hit this year is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, I've got us 13-4, and that will win us the division, in my opinion, if we get 13-4. 11. So what was you? So you 12-5, 11-6. Do you think that's a wild card, or do you think that's the division?
No, I think it wins the division. I see the. I think the Buccaneers are going to get older a lot as the season goes along, and probably have some trouble.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you mentioned it when we were talking about the Carolina game with them going for draft picks. There's been a report that's come out today, so we might as well talk about it. I don't know who the person was that reported it, but...
I was going to say one thing, sorry. The Buccaneers, I know that I haven't looked at their entire schedule, but they start with away at the Cowboys, then they play away at the Saints, and then they play the Packers and Chiefs after that. Now, then they go to the Seahawks. The Seahawks is later in their season. But I think that's how they start their season. Their first four games is Cowboys, Saints, Packers, and Chiefs.
They could be 1-3.
There's a real chance that they're 1-3 or 0-4. You never know. The Cowboys will be healthy at the start of the year, and they'll be, I mean, at their stadium, no telling what can happen with that. I mean, but if we step up and beat them, I mean, they could start pretty slow. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
So I was saying that there was a report that came out on Twitter, and like I said, I'm not sure who the guy is that put
he's
it out.
He's got 15,000 followers, so it means
somebody. Is reporting that the Carolina Panthers have interest in Sean Payton. I think we all agree that Matt Rhule is on a short leash this year, especially as he didn't draft a quarterback in the first round.
Yep.
You know, he's not gonna keep his job because of Matt Corral, is he? Was he drafted in the third round, I think, wasn't he? He's not gonna keep his job. Do you think Payton would go to the Panthers?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, one, I don't know if Payton. I mean, he can get traded. I think that possibly. I think it would come down to what would make sense. This getting floated around is if Payton somewhere in this pre-draft process or last year had said, "Man, that Matt Corral guy, I really like him. He looks like somebody that I could make into, you know, an All-Pro," which would be awesome for the Saints, because Peyton has been wrong about every quarterback he's ever wanted since we got Drew Brees. And that was kind of like, it's not like we chose Drew Brees. That was the only guy coming here besides Dante Culpepper. So
yeah,
basically every quarterback that Peyton has chosen since then has been awful as a quarterback. If that was how it got together, is Peyton liked what he saw from Matt Corral and thinks he'd be a great pro. I'm all for trading Peyton to him. Now, having said that, we're going to trade him to the Panthers. I think he's more expensive than if you're trading him to a team outside of the division.
Correct.
Which kind of would fall in line, because the Panthers are going to have a higher draft pick than anybody else that would be interested in him. I think they've traded their first away for next year. Whether Peyton would want to go there or not, I mean, let's be honest. We can sit there and say like, "Oh, Peyton's he's a New Orleans Saint. He would never want to go to the division."
They pay him enough.
I don't think he would want to go to the Falcons. I think that's probably where he draws the line.
Yeah,
Peyton quit the Saints. He's interested in coaching somewhere else. And it's not one of those things that I would be. It would make any difference to me, or I would care if we got properly compensated. I want us to get a first round draft pick back next year for Peyton, whatever that is.
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned the Falcons. That would be probably the only team that if he went to, I'd be really annoyed about. If he goes to the Panthers, I'm kind of like, nah, just give us some draft picks. Have him. Yeah, you carry on. I don't see the Panthers as a threat. I just don't. Now, look, that can change. You know, it's the NFL. It can change. You know, they went 15-1 6-7 years ago, didn't they? You know,
yeah.
It can change. But
with the MVP of the league.
Yeah. That's mad, that is, that he won it. Anyway. So, it's one to keep an eye on. I don't think Matt Rhule will be the coach of the Panthers next year. I definitely don't think he'll be the coach of the Panthers.
I agree with that.
Next year.
And to be fair, we see this all the time. All this could mean is that the Panthers called the Saints and said, "Hey, if y'all actually get to where you're taking offers for Peyton, if you would trade him in the division, we'd like to be in the conversation. Call us back if there's a thing there." Or, yeah. I mean, it could have been as simple as them going, hey, you guys want to trade Peyton? And the Saints go, not to you. Okay. So just vaguely saying Panthers have interest in bringing in Peyton. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean,
look, I'm sure Dennis Allen has interest in trading for Patrick Mahomes, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Exactly. I mean, let's be honest, there's 14 teams that would have interest in talking to us about Sean Payton. Some of them, once they heard the asking price, would hang up, and then some of them we wouldn't want to talk to them. So,
yeah,
who knows what that even means.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, it was just an interesting report that came out today. Well, I think that just about covers it. Have you got anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap this up?
Nope. Ready to get to over to the game over there, though. We're less than 5 months away. So
yes. Well, obviously, we've all, apart from Scott, booked travel and hotels. So we are all, and hopefully Scott is able to make it across so we can have the full Dome Patrol tailgating experience with everybody, because you know you all had a great time in Tennessee last season, and even though I was there on a phone, it wasn't quite the same.
for sure, that makes it a little bit different.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same, and but yeah, you know, I can't wait for October. It's I've already booked my vacation time off work. I've booked my accommodation. As soon as I can book transport 12 weeks before, I'll be booking that. I'm ready for it. Once we know exactly what we're doing in terms of a Dome Patrol kind of event, we'll let you know what it's going to be. But it's likely to be on the Saturday night before the game. But yeah, details of that will follow when I've figured out what it is we're actually going to do. But there will be alcohol involved. I can confirm that straight up.
And I think that most of us are staying sort of near Soho.
Yes.
I'm staying right in the middle of Soho, in the middle of a big walking area and all like that, where the only negative review is that the place is loud until 4 a.m. So
take that.
It'll be good. Like I'm right down on Greek Street, right in the middle of Soho.
Yeah, so I know, I think Jeff and Jason are fairly close to you, aren't they? Me and Ben are about a 10-minute walk away from where you guys are. So yeah, so anybody who is listening that is going down to London, head to that sort of area. I will try and make the Dome Patrol event near to there, but obviously London's a big place. So yeah, we'll sort that out. If that's all we've got time for, I'll start wrapping it up. Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Dome Patrol United podcast, Saints schedule release show. Wesley, thanks for joining me. It's now midnight here, so yeah, going to be bed for me soon. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. This is a podcast made by fans for the fans. Just want everybody to remember that. Going to make more of a deal of that in future, I think, aren't we?
Agreed.
So you know where we are on all the social medias. I'm not going to go through all that because basically I haven't got the script, but you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK. We've also got Tiger_Den.
You can listen to us the old fashioned way on DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Goodbye, donkeys. I couldn't think of anything to throw in there then.
Fantastic. Yes. We'll just blame it on the language barrier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You threw that one on me then. I wasn't expecting it. We can blame Jason for leaving the podcast early.
Perfect. Thanks.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Night. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Hooked out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I try.